God, we just want to ask for you to come hang with us tonight in the cafe and ask for your help. God, we're kind of tired of school. We're frustrated with the weather. We'd like things to be warmer. We'd like school to be over. God, I don't know what people are bringing in with them tonight, if they've got stuff going on at home or if they've got relationship stuff that's happening or stuff at work or stuff with family members or school projects or maybe just life has been tough. Or maybe they're doing really well and they're hopeful. God, wherever people are at, whatever they're feeling tonight, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight as we talk about James and perseverance and what it looks like to have joy when hard things are happening. God, we ask for your help and your strength, and we pray you bless our group tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, I don't know if some of you guys are familiar with the movie Soul Surfer. Maybe you've seen it. But Bethany Hamilton was a professional surfer who survived a shark attack. In 2003, a shark bit off her left arm. Thankfully, she survived and lived and went on to become, like I told you, a pro surfer. But her story is what's told in the movie Soul Surfer. And I thought it might be cool for us to take a look at some of the hardship that she was facing and the things that she was feeling, because I think they speak to our lives a little bit too. So if you wouldn't mind, take a look at this first clip where Bethany has lost her arm and is struggling to figure out why God allowed that. You guys, maybe you have had some hard things happen to you, you know? Maybe you've had some physical pain in your life. Maybe it's been some emotional pain. Maybe you've had some hurt feelings or broken friendships or broken hearts. I've had broken hearts, broken bones. I've lost loved ones to different things. I've had a hard time wrestling with being made fun of. I've been embarrassed, and maybe you have too. Being made fun of or bullied, or I've not made the team that I really wanted to be a part of. I've lost a friendship. I broke a finger. I've had my favorite pet die. I've had a friend die, and maybe you've experienced some pain too. Chances are we could all sit down and share stories if we were wanting to be really vulnerable and of hard, difficult things that have happened to us. Maybe your family moved and you didn't want to move, or maybe you had to switch schools, or maybe it's something deeper than that. Maybe it's something deep in your heart that maybe you've got some pain over. You guys, life can be hard, right? And the valley of pain can be sad and lonely and a scary time and a crazy time. And we can doubt whether God is good. We can doubt why He's allowing things to happen. We can question His goodness. We can wonder and ask a whole bunch of questions. And we talked a couple weeks ago about why does God allow suffering? And we looked at some ways that maybe that's happening. But as we take a look at James chapter 1, we're going to take a look right at the beginning. He jumps into this sentence that says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So I'm going to have a copy of James chapter 1 for you. I want you to take a look at it. We're going to walk through it a little bit together. And then later tonight, you'll have a chance to share, like, what are some maybe hard times that you have been going through? So could I get a few people to help pass out chapter 1? It starts at the beginning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Okay, we find out the author. And if you didn't know, I believe this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, is writing. And who's he writing to? Okay, 12 tribes scattered, right? So they're in distant lands, they're separated from each other, and they're undergoing their own trials and persecutions and difficult times as a church body, right? The Jews are scattered to different places around the nation, and they're not all together, okay? They're having their own struggles. So we're going to take a look. Here's what James says right at the very beginning. It says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What is perseverance? You guys ever had to persevere through a race, maybe, or a sporting event, or some kind of physical test? What is perseverance? Pushing through. Okay, what else? Okay, having some patience to keep going. Those are kind of two different things. Being patient in it and not quitting, maybe not giving up. Yeah, so all right, he continues on in verse 4. He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, right? Because that's kind of tough. Like, that's how he begins his section. And I want you to skip down to verse 12, where it says this. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You guys, sometimes it's really tough to persevere, right? In the fourth quarter of a game, you can be exhausted and tired. It can be the last lap of a race. It can be challenging to persevere. When you've had obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, it can be hard to push through on your assignments. It can be hard to push through with your health. It can be hard to push through and persevere when you watch other people around you having a hard time, right? It can be hard to watch family members struggle. And perseverance, even in our faith, can be a tough one, let alone just to get through it. And James is like, no, don't just get through it. Find some joy in it. And I scratch my head. I'm like, are you serious? How do the people of God do that? So here's what one of the commentaries I read said this. It says, how can a person consider trouble as an opportunity for joy? That seems kind of weird, right? Maybe not normal. It says, this is a remarkable command, and we are to choose to be joyful in situations where we would naturally, it would be our last response, right? When certain circumstances make us angry, maybe we tend to blame the Lord. James says, look, don't do that. It goes on and says, look, sometimes our own trials come from within. He talks about sometimes our own desires tempt us and lead us away and become a trial for us. And in the end, he says this, those who trust in God ought to exhibit a dramatically different position or a positive response in difficult life events. Man, that's hard to do, right? You find out someone's got a serious sickness or illness, or a friend of yours got in a car accident, or something major happened to one of your relatives. Like, those can be like, wow, my first response of hearing that my aunt had cancer was not joy, okay? My first response to hearing that my sister needed a heart transplant was not joy. And I'm trying to reconcile my own lack of getting this Bible verse, of getting this teaching from God. Can I just be straight with you? As your youth leader, as your friend, I am failing this talk. I am not succeeding very well. In the struggles of my life, I'm not finding joy. I'm finding worry. I'm finding fear. I'm finding other stuff coming in and stealing my joy, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. In the commentary, it goes on and says this. It says, our attitude should be one of joy, genuine rejoicing. This is not joyful anticipation for trial. So you're not like, oh, yay, I can't wait for the next one. It's not like that. It's not fake. Instead, it's a joy during the hardship or the trial. The joy is based on confidence in the outcome of the trial. It is a startling realization that trials represent the possibility for growth. And in contrast, most people are happy when they escape trial, right? Aren't you glad when you get out of the homework assignment or the project's finally done or you get out of the bad situation? It says, but James encourages us to have a pure joy or a different type of joy in the face of trial. He's not encouraging us to pretend to be happy. Okay, so here's what I want you to get. We're not asking you to fake it. Stuff hurts. Life's hard, okay? We're not asking you to ignore that. However, we have to relocate our joy. So here's what I want to do. I want you guys to look at this box over here, all right? Let's pretend this cardboard box is full of all the circumstances in your life, okay? What happens if our joy is in this box? If our joy is in circumstances, what happens in life when they're in our circumstances? So things go well in your life and it's easy to have joy, okay? When things are hard, when circumstances are tough, you get a bad grade or your parents ground you for a week or you lose your device or you break your phone or you break up with someone you really cared about or you find out some really, really bad news, what happens to the joy if it's based in and it's contained in circumstances? It falls apart. It goes away, right? And so your life ends up being what? Every day is a giant roller coaster of emotion, right? If your joy is in circumstances, then when things are good, things are good. And when things are bad, right? And there's no consistency in your life. And you're basically at the whim of outside forces on you, affecting you. And that controls your emotions. That's a rough way to live, right? Because at any given moment, your circumstances can change just like that. And then your joy is gone, right? And so here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to do this. I want you to reach in and I want you to pull out joy, okay? I got a giant smiley face, okay? And we're going to relocate it, okay? We're going to move joy because it's not supposed to be in our circumstances. We're going to move joy, and I've actually got joy for all of you. which is kind of fun, right? You're going to get your own little smiley face eraser. And I want you to put joy in your very own box on the table, okay? But we're going to label this box something different. So on the top flap of that box, I want you to write the word faith. And then I want you to stick whatever color cross that you want onto your box, okay? Onto the top of your box. All right, so if you didn't get that, write faith on the top of your box and then stick a cross of your favorite color on the top. Okay, do we relocate joy? We moved it out of our circumstances and we put it into your box of faith. All right, can I tell you why we did that? I wanted you to see a physical representation of a mental process, okay? Every day we're going to have to choose, okay, to take joy out of our circumstances and put it in our faith, okay? Here's why. The Bible says that joy, listen, is a fruit of the Spirit, okay? And if it's a fruit of the Spirit, then it is a product or a byproduct of a life lived upward toward God, okay? As you live your life upward toward God, joy comes out of you. So the kind of joy that James is talking about isn't this happiness based in circumstance, because who's going to celebrate a broken foot, right? But could you have a peace, could you have a joy that's deeper than the emotion of happiness, that maybe God is working something else out in your life? I don't know the reasons why, but I want to throw out the idea that every day we're going to need to choose, hey, take joy out of your circumstances and put it back into your faith. So I don't want to ignore your circumstances, though. So here's what I want you to do. On one side of the box, you pick the side. I want you to write what are some of the hard times, or what James calls these trials of many kinds. What are some of the difficult life things that you're currently facing or have faced already? Okay? So on one side of your box, write some of the tough stuff that you've had to go through or are currently going through. All right, what are some of the tough things that you've been going through, okay, or been through? Maybe it's school, maybe it's classes, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's work. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a family thing. Maybe you just feel like your parents are just not fair. Or maybe you feel like life's not been fair. Maybe it's being picked on or made fun of. Or maybe you've had some other kind of loss or grief in your life. All right, as tough as it is, try to at least think of one thing, okay? All right, while you're working on that, Nellie's going to play another clip for us from the movie where Bethany is just wondering why. You guys, Bethany for a while had to quit surfing. She couldn't paddle out past the waves to get into position. She couldn't carry her board with one arm. She couldn't keep her balance. Like all of the stuff that she had loved and enjoyed doing, that she had put her life and her purpose in, was now taken away. And she's struggling with why and what's the purpose in it. And she can't do the things that she wanted to do. Her goals for the moment are blocked and stopped. And if you ever had to quit a dream, or your dream was never realized, or you couldn't continue doing your dream, those can be really, really tough emotions to feel and experience, right? I wanted to read to you from a favorite book of mine called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Eugene Peterson writes in his book about joy, and I found it pretty helpful. He says this: some of us experience events that are full of sadness and pain. Some of us descend to low points in our lives when joy seems to have permanently departed. We must not in such circumstances or during such times say, well, I guess what, you know what, that's final proof. I'm just not a good Christian. Christians are supposed to have their mouths filled with laughter and tongues with shouts of joy, and I don't. I'm not joyful. Therefore, I must not be a good Christian or maybe even a Christian at all. And he said, that's not quite accurate, right? He goes on and says, joy is not a requirement of Christian discipleship. It is a consequence. It is not what we have to acquire in order to experience life in Christ. It is what comes to us when we are walking in the way of faith and obedience. We come to God because none of us have it within ourselves except momentarily to be joyous. Joy is a product of abundance. It is overflow of vitality. It is life working together harmoniously. It is exuberance. Inadequate sinners as we are, none of us can manage that for very long, right? So in your life group time later, you're going to have a chance to talk about what are some of the temporary things that you look to for joy, right? I like to eat, so a good chocolate dessert, you know, or a nice homemade apple pie or something like that. Go to Chipotle and get a big burrito. Those are moments of joy for me, but they last maybe 10 to, you know, 15 minutes. When the food is gone, the joy is often over, right? Or maybe you like movies. So when the movie's done, the joy stops. Or maybe you like video games, and when the game's over, or it's time to go to bed, like the joy ends. You're shopping and you like to buy clothes and shoes and purses and whatnot. And when the money runs out, then the joy kind of ends, right? So you guys get that there's lots of temporary ways we can do that. He goes on and says this: the effects are extremely temporary, a few minutes, a few hours, a few days at most. When we run out of money or the joy trickles away, we cannot make ourselves joyful. Joy cannot be commanded, purchased, or arranged. That's a tough one, right? He says, but there is something we can do. He says, we can decide to live in response to the abundance of God and not under the dictatorship of our own poor needs. We can decide to live in an environment of living God and not our own dying selves. We can decide to center ourselves in the God who generously gives and not in our own egos, which greedily grab. He says, one certain consequence of such a life is joy. And he goes on and explains how we can have true joy. So let me explain to you what he talks about in his book about finding joy. He says it works like this, okay? It starts with the past, okay? So if you want to have true joy, lasting, meaningful joy in your life, it starts in the past. You have to look backwards first, is what he says. And he says you've got to look backward to what has God already done, okay? So you're going to have a chance to do that on your box in a minute. You're going to think of cool things that God has already done in your life, okay? But then he goes on and he finishes it and he says this: it starts in the past. You have to look backward to find true joy. And it's found in what God has already done. And then he said it's found in the future. And you look to the future with hope. So what are you hoping that God will do? All right, you guys got it? You're looking back to the past to see what he's done. Then you're looking to the future and what you're hoping that he will do. And in the present, he said, that's where you can find gladness. That's where you can find joy, that you can have peace and joy in your heart that's deep down. It's not like super happy, but it could be a contentment because you know what God has done and you're looking to hope with what he will do. And in the present, you can be content and you can be at peace and you can have this meaningful joy. You guys, that's hard to do, but we're going to start practicing it right now together. So let me just wet your whistle a little bit with what are some of the things that God has already done. Okay, so if you can remember these Bible stories, then you're going to have a chance to remember events from your own life. Okay, so do you remember when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac? Do you remember that story? And then don't forget this, God provided a ram instead of Isaac. Okay, and we learned that God is a provider. Do you remember when Joseph's brothers betrayed him and threw him in a pit? And then God raised him up to lead Egypt, and he became like the second in command of all the nation and saved the people through a famine, right? Do you remember the story when Moses was afraid to lead, and he questioned God, and he didn't want to go, and God spoke to him in the burning bush, but Moses felt inadequate and didn't want to do it? But then God used him, right, to free the people of Egypt. Do you remember Joshua encouraging the people to be strong and courageous? And then do you remember when they marched around the city of Jericho and the walls fell down? Or do you remember the story of David when he sins big time, but then God forgave him? Do you remember Daniel, the story of Daniel, when Daniel held on to his faith even when it was illegal to pray to God, and then God rescued him from the lion's den? Do you remember that story? Do you remember Job's suffering? I don't know if you remember Job's suffering, but he lost his whole family, really. All his kids died and his livestock and his possessions. And then God doubled his blessing and he had more kids and more possessions and more things. God came through for him. Do you remember when Jesus defeated sin and death and rose again? I mean, we just celebrated Easter not too long ago, right? All right, so now let's make it more real, okay? So let me ask you this. Do you remember when Ellie got baptized on our Kalamazoo trip, if you were there? We had a video of it. It's pretty cool. She got baptized in the lake at Miracle Camp. That's pretty awesome. Do you remember when we had cool, awesome worship moments at Ice Camp? There's a cool band there, and we connected there. Do you remember when we had some really cool sharing times together at ice camp? Do you remember that? Yeah. Now, I want you to think back even more to your own faith story. Do you remember when you came to know Jesus, when you decided for yourself that you were going to put your faith in God? I mean, if you look around the room, I remember when some of you were baptized. And a bunch of you came up around the tank and celebrated, right, about that cool stuff. I don't know if you guys are around for this, but do you remember when we didn't have the cafe? Does anybody remember that? We used to meet across the parking lot in an old workshop, okay? Still exists and still has mice and raccoons and no bathrooms. This is your turn, though. On one side of your box, you're going to do this right now. I want you to remember what are some cool things that God has done in your life, ways that he has answered prayers, ways that he has come through for you. Any side you want. Pick a new side. Yeah, pick a new side. We have four things, so you're going to write them on four sides of the box. So pick another side of your box and write down cool stuff that God has done, okay? Maybe it's as simple as God loves me, you know? Or maybe it's something big like, man, God came through for me in this big way. Or he answered this long-time prayer. Or maybe it's something that happened to somebody else. Like for me, I would write on my box, God provided a new heart for my sister. He provided a way for her to keep living. That's pretty amazing. Or maybe it's something small, like God helped me on my test last week. Or he helped me get accepted to that college. Or he helped me get that job. Or he fixed that friendship that was broken. Okay, we're going to keep going. I don't want you guys to forget this, okay? Part of finding true joy is looking backward to the past, remembering stuff that God has done so that we can look to the future with hope, what you're hoping he will do, so that you can be glad and be content and be at peace in the moment, in the present. All right, you guys, joy is hard to hold on to, though, it seems sometimes, right? And sometimes things come in and want to steal our joy away. And I want to read to you from another book of mine that I found a lot of comfort in, actually. This book's called Laugh Again. Sometimes life gets too serious and too heavy. And my dad gave me this book a while back. And sometimes you just need to laugh because life does funny stuff, right? He goes on to say that sometimes joy gets stolen. And there are three main culprits that he says that steal our joy. And the joy stealers he lists are worry, stress, and fear. Okay, those three are the big ones that sneak in and try to steal our joy away, right? Worry is an inordinate anxiety about something that may or may not occur, okay? You're fretting and worrying about the possibility of something happening or something not happening, right? It says, but worry eats away at our joy like a slow-working acid while we are waiting for the outcome. All right, anybody ever been plagued by worry? Does it take your joy away? Yeah. Okay. Stress. You guys don't know anything about that, right? You don't know anything about stress. You guys aren't stressed, are you? No? You don't get nothing going on. Stress is a little more acute than worry. Stress is intense strain over a situation we often cannot change or control. That's true. Instead of releasing it to God, we churn over it. It is the restless churning stage that our stress is intensified and steals our joy, right? Now, not all stress is bad. Sometimes some of that can be helpful. But distress, stress that causes your body to freak out and your mind to freak out, can steal our joy pretty quick. And the last one, fear. Fear is a little bit different than worry and stress. It is a dreadful uneasiness over the presence of danger, evil, or pain. Okay, we're afraid that something is going to happen, right? And so that can suck our joy away as we're anticipating what that's going to be. Now, sometimes fear can be a good thing. You know, being afraid of being hit by a car keeps us from running out in the street. Being afraid of burning our hand keeps us from putting our hand on the stove. But there's other kinds of fears, listen, that keep us from doing maybe the things that God wants us to be doing. Those are his three ideas. What are yours? Okay. On one side of your box, I want you to put the title Joy Stealers. Joy Stealers. One side of your box. Joy Stealers. And you list, what are some things that steal your joy? Maybe you list worry or stress or fear, but those are only a couple, right? What are some other things in your life Maybe their emotions, maybe their experiences. What kinds of stuff steals your joy away? All right, if you feel like sharing, talk to me. What are some things that steal your joy? What are a couple of things you wrote down? Failure. Sure, yeah, that makes sense. We fail at stuff, and it can take our joy away real quick. Oh, yeah. When people are joking about, stuff like that, that can be really tough, right? Especially if you struggle with that stuff and they're making fun of it, right? Yeah, when people joke about tough stuff, like suicide and depression, yeah. Or even those feelings, like depression can steal your joy real fast, you know? Doubt for sure, man. You have like storms of doubt come in and take away your confidence, take away your faith even, and make you feel like inadequate, for sure. Heartbreak, yeah. Your heart gets broken over something or someone, and man, that can be a dark place to be, a hard place to recover from. Okay, so temporary stuff just doesn't satisfy. And you find yourself turning to the temporary stuff more often than God, and then it can leave you kind of dry, right? For sure. You got one more? Expectations. Yours, others, unspoken ones, spoken ones, trying to meet other people's expectations. For sure, that can be a hard way to live, right? All right, guys, he tackles one of them, and I want to share with you how to tackle just one of them, okay? There are other ways to tackle some of the stuff you shared, but we're going to try to tackle the one of worry, okay? Because a lot of people are fighting worry in their lives. Here's what Paul says, ways to fight worry are like this. Always be full of joy in the Lord, says Philippians 4. I say it again, rejoice. You know, sense a theme, right? You want to be able to rejoice and have joy. James is talking about having joy and persevering in hard times. It says, let everyone see you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming. And then don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Okay, I want to give you five things that are a way to combat some of the joy stealers in your life. Okay, there they are. I want you to write these five words on another side of your box. Okay, if you ran out of sides, you could write it on the bottom. Hopefully, you've got one side left somewhere, or you can squeeze it on somewhere on the end. Write those five words on your box. And you guys, I took them straight out of Philippians 4, 4 through 8, okay? You know what's interesting about the word rejoice? If you break it apart, it's kind of like re-joy. Like do it again, have joy again, assuming that you've already had it. So here's what I wanted to tell you. Rejoice is like keep celebrating the good. This is important because when you're depressed and down and full of fear and worry, you forget. So you got to go back and remember and keep celebrating the good. Yeah, this is hard for me. It's been a tough week. I'm trying to reflect and work on this lesson. And I'm not feeling joy and I'm not feeling the emotion that comes with it. But you know what? To be able to trust in God that he's going to work things for good, even though we can't see it, is a truth I'm trying to hold on to. But remembering what he's done in the past, remembering, celebrating the good, praying instead of worrying, ask God for help. You're worried about stuff, ask God for help. A good cure for worry is prayer. I'm not great at it, but I know it helps. And I urge you to keep doing it, praying. Thanking God, expressing our gratitude. Sometimes we just ask and ask and ask, but don't forget to thank him for stuff. Because having an attitude of thankfulness can also help combat the negative emotions, and we can find joy in, hey, you know what? Maybe things suck for you right now, but is there something you could be thankful for? And just start counting the small blessings, right? Even if they're tiny ones. Like, God, thanks for the light turned green so I could get there on time. Or, God, thanks for that little snack I had. God, thanks for helping me get a better grade. Thanks for helping my parents be more understanding. Just find something. A little gratitude can help us. And then I love this part, peace. God's peace will guard your heart and mind, a peace that passes understanding that you just can't get. I want that peace, and sometimes I pray for that peace, and I chase that peace. But it's not just about chasing peace. It's about doing the other stuff too, rejoicing, praying, thanking, trusting him, and then renewing. Don't forget to do this part. Don't keep thinking about the worst scenarios, right? Think about it going well. You guys, look at me. Think about it going well. Picture it going well. Picture God showing up and it working out. Visualizing that, saying that in your head, thinking positive thoughts, because the enemy would love for us to doubt and worry and fear and fret and freak out and get depressed and try to harm ourselves and do stupid stuff like that and get stuck in a dark hole. And the enemy wants to bring us down, but try as you can. And if you can't do that, find a friend that can help you do those things. Rejoice, pray, thank, peace, and renew. You guys, Paul says in Philippians as well that he learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. And do you know what it was? That whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want, that he and coins these famous words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So whether things are going great for you or things are going horrible for you, there's a truth that God is in it with you. He might not take it away, but he's in it with you. I want to close with a final clip from the movie. Bethany makes it, joins the pro circuit, figures out how to surf, figures out how to hold her board and keep her balance and get out past the waves. And I want you to see a clip from the end of the movie. You guys don't miss it, though. That's a true story. Okay, the girl in there is an actress, but true story. You can look up Bethany Hamilton. I actually watched some clips of her on Dude Perfect. She was like teaching the guys how to surf. I don't know if you guys ever watched clips from that. It was pretty fun. Don't miss this. She found a way to find joy in her hard times. She didn't have it right away, right? You could see that. You could feel that. But I don't want you guys to miss that there's a part of the Christian life that I think is hard to get. And I think in James chapter 1, we find that, man, joy in tough times is a hard one. Perseverance to keep going is a tough one. I hope you have a good life group discussion. Would you pray with me and we'll jump to groups? God, even as I talk here with my friends, it is hard to live this and I don't do it well and I need your help. God, would you help us all, even right now, take joy out of our circumstances and put it back into our faith? God, there's a lot of things that want to rob and steal our joy, and we need your help. God, would you remind us that true joy is in you and that you promise to walk through whatever difficulties we're facing, and we ask for your strength to get through them, to not give up, to not quit, to not get all beat up and knocked down and depressed and quit fighting. Would you renew us? Would you help us rejoice even when it's hard? Would you help us to pray, to thank you, to find peace in you? And would you renew our thoughts and minds and hearts? We pray in your name. Amen.